page 298.
Were you going to tell us where is Olive Bay?
What?
Olive Bay.
What about the Olives? I know, we discussed that a little bit. What's the significance? Why over here more than anywhere else? I don't know. The only letter that's missing is the letter Vav. Let's just finish on the Mizma, then we'll have time, we'll go back, we'll discuss some things. Who is the man who has a desire for life? Oyev Yom, who loves his days, Lirois Toif, to see good. Okay, let's read the one pasuk at a time here. We have to finish up today. There's not too much mefarshim. I spent some time preparing yesterday, believe it or not. I didn't really find anything that too much that really you know leaped out of the page to read inside that much. We have just discussed some things outside. Pasuk Yud Gimel in the Mitzvah is David. Pasuk says Mihu Ish Echofet Chaim on page. Page 299. Chayei Ha'olam Haba. That is a chidush from the Mitzudai stuff that the chayim over here that we're discussing over here is Olam Haba. I think the Chofetz Chaim, Rabbi Shomer Kagan, I think a lot of his Torah says it's not just chayim means in this world. If you want to know what's good for you in this world, then follow what it says in the next few sentences. There's a lot of practical benefits and brachos that many brachos that a person receives in this world of life, of long life, by observing the mitzvah and the prohibitions associated with Lashon Hara. And to prove this point, Chavetz Chaim lived a very long life. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, he said about himself that it would have been a chilul Hashem had he died young. Because the person, if he dedicated his life to the study, the pursuit of teaching the laws of Lashon Hara, and he would have left this world at an age that would have been considered in the world to be a young person, what are people going to say? Here you go, and you follow them, you mekayim the pasuk of Neil Yishach Chavetz Chaim, and yet the one who has promoted this does not live long, does not have arichas yamim. So if I'm not mistaken, I remember hearing this, that he said about himself that he was zeichet to arichas yamim because it would have been a chil Hashem for him not to live long. He didn't say because it's a zuchus. Oh, I was mekayim the mitzvah of. He said it the way it is. I was mekayim the mitzvah of lashon hara. Memela, I was arichas yamim. He said much more. He said because he went out of his way to promote the study of lashon hara, and people observe him as an icon of this topic. How could Hashem possibly allow such a thing to happen that he would not have arichas yamim? And that's not what it says in the Mitzudas David. The Mitzudas David says that the Chayim here refers to Chayei Ha'olam Haba. And obviously that's true for the average person. The average person is not an icon for the study of Lashon Hara. And there are numerous people who are extremely nizer in the study of Lashon Hara. And unfortunately, Rachman Litzon Leileinu, they do not necessarily have Arichas Yamin. So of course, the Pashm Shad is
Hechof Amir. Was it Rabbi Segal? Yeah. From London,
that says what?
Manchester. He was also very
Nizer. That's true. That's what they say. He was the Chorat. Rav Dan Segal. He also had a Arichas Yamim. I mean, I haven't read the biography of Chavetz Chaim in a very, very long time. But there are a few biographies of Chavetz Chaim, and a lot of them have some of them. They're all very different, obviously. And I just vaguely remember there were tekufos in the life of Chavetz Chaim where he was literally deathly ill. Deathly ill, and everyone knows in the beginning of his life, before he became who he was, you know, he was in an institution. He was institutionalized. They don't want to tell you this because it's not. They don't want to tell this to children. He suffered from severe depression.
Wow.
Rav Chavetz Chaim, when he was like a teenager, like 12, 13, 14 years old, I think for an entire year, he was basically out, completely out, in a state of. Clinically ill. To what degree? I don't know. Rabbi Beryl Wine talks a lot about this. He talks a lot about this era, this tikkuf in his life. I think he says this tikkuf in his life is what made him into the Chofetz Chaim. Is that era? I mean, Pharrell wanted an enormous amount of research. Going back, thinking back years ago on listening to his shiurim, you know, he has these incredible series of biographies. Shiurim, where you know he takes all the famous people and in an hour he summarizes from his research who they were, you know, in his way. So for the Chofetz Chaim he has three tapes. All of the Gedolei Yisrael he spent only 1 hour, and Chofetz Chaim, I'm sure you can go down and get it online. They have all of the shiurim, and there he had 3 hours, three shiurim on the life of the Chofetz Chaim. It's very clear he was enamored by the Chofetz Chaim. And this era in his life was a very difficult time in his life when he was very young and he wasn't well, and it had a profound effect on his outlook on life. And I think, if I'm not remember, he says this was a very important part of his life which propelled him to be who he was. You know, every person that's great when you study them, you'll find certain times of their life that totally transformed them. I remember 2 years ago, Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb from Yeshiva University passed away, and then there were many, many Hasidim, and there was one thing which came out a couple of times that no one ever knew. No one ever heard about this, is that when he was in third grade, Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb was in third grade. He had a very good friend, you know, kids in third grade, who died. So one day he didn't wake up, and it affected him to an incredible degree. And a lot of the Hasidim said that is what made him into who he was. He saw this kid in third grade, he died, and like, how could that be? He didn't accomplish anything. And it frightened him. It frightened him, and it also put into him, you have to accomplish, because you never know. You can just go at any moment. A friend in third grade, you don't realize how sophisticated these kids are. These little kids, you know, they're very perceptive. They're very swift. They see it all. They take it all in. These little kids, you wouldn't believe. People get older. They slow down, and it affected him to a very, very great degree. It put in him this incredible drive to accomplish. The Chofetz Chaim, Rabbi Wein, he said the same thing, if I'm not mistaken, and then thinking back memories many, many years ago about the Chofetz Chaim when he was a teenager, and he went through this very difficult time in his life where he basically says he was institutionalized. And they don't like to write about this in the popular books about Gedolei Yisrael. It's not a very popular thing to say about the Chofetz Chaim, the Gadol Hadar, to say that he was institutionalized for a year. He didn't wear tefillin. He davened for a whole year. That's what it sounds like. He didn't daven, he didn't wear tefillin. He was mamish, totally out. He was in the very, very, and in those days, the medications, obviously, in those days was pathetic compared to what is available today for people in that type of state. And this is what he says. He says, I think, you know, there is one very authoritative biography of the Chofetz Chaim. It was written in Hebrew by, I think, one of his Talmudim, someone that was very close to him. It was written in Hebrew, and it was translated by Art Scroll. When Art Scroll first became Art Scroll, like 30 years ago, so one of the first things that they did was they translated the biography of the Chofetz Chaim. It is the most dry, flat biography you've ever read your whole life. And this is 30 years ago. Today they wouldn't fathom to publish such a thing, Art Scroll. 30 years ago was a different world. So it's basically a translation. There was a biography that was written by the Chofetz Chaim. I don't know at what point in time. It's written in Hebrew. And it's written like a sefer. It's not really like a biography that tells you, that brings out, you know, who a person was. It's like a sefer. You know, telling you certain facts written in a very dry form. And when they translate it into English, it's even more dry. Today no one would it wouldn't sell today one copy. This type of biography. I'm sure you can get it, it's online, available. But today everything has to be exciting, and has to be this flair and a story and some type of, you know, it's a whole different, obviously everyone knows that today it's a whole different world. But there it mentions this, like, you know, you kill some with faint praise. Everyone knows that expression. You go and you want to say something nice, so you kill him with faint praise. So this episode in his life is basically completely whitewashed in that sefer, like it never happened. And at Barrel Wine, he devotes an enormous amount of time. What do you mean it never happened? Boy, did it happen. And not only did it happen, study the life of Chafetz Chaim, this is what it changed him. This episode where he was able to overcome this nisayon, and this is what made him who he was. He saw life from a different perspective, and it made him who he was. That's what he says. I have to go back and listen again to the tapes of Barrel Wine to see if what I'm saying, if I'm remembering correctly what he said. In any event, the Chafetz Chaim, I remember reading one of these biographies that at one point in time in the life of the Chafetz Chaim, it sounded like, when I remember, he must have been in his 60s, his 70s, he was deathly, deathly ill. And who knows what he had. Today in modern medicine, they can probably tell you. And he came very, very close to dying. And then miraculously, he recovered. And when he recovered, I remember hearing him saying is that he said the reason why he really should have died and the reason why he recovered was because it would have been a Chil Hashem. He promoted and spent so much time on the sugya of Miyuya Shechaf Yitzchak V'Lashon Hara, and he became an icon for the pursuit of the study of Hilchos Lashon Hara. It would be a Chil Hashem for him to die, and that's why he survived. I'm telling you this from memory. From what I'm saying exactly, I don't know. By the way, how old was he when he died, Chafetz Chaim? So no one knows. No one really knows. They say in the books he was 95, 96. They say it's not really true. He's a lot older. Those days, they didn't keep records. No one really knew how old he was. Every year they say, I heard of Lazer Ginsburg. I think it was of Lazer Ginsburg. He's the guy they gave years ago, and I was spending a lot more time with the Torah Vadas in Kensington. So in the shul of Rabbi Weinfeld, he took over the Dinava shul on East 18th Avenue and East 9th Street. And I think one of the first year when he opened up his shul, they had on the 25th day of Elul a yard site asifa in honor of the Chafetz Chaim. His yard site, I think, is the 25th day of Elul, 24th. And they had like an asifa, and they had speakers. I think of Lazer Ginsburg, he spoke, and he said some phenomenal stuff. He read over some incredible things that no one even knows about. And one of the things that he said was that they didn't really know how old he was. And every year on his birthday, they knew his birthday, and every year on his birthday, he got younger every year. Because they were so afraid of an ayin hara. So let's say they made a birthday one year, and he's 96 years old. The next year, he was 95. The next year, he was 94. The next year, he was 93. Serious, this is true. Because they didn't really know how old he was, and they were so afraid of an ayin hara, so they every year he got younger and younger. Look, I know that someone, Chaim Berlin.
Boys usually know because they know when they got bar mitzvah.
Yeah, I don't know. No, this interesting, halacha. We once mentioned this before. This is a fascinating halacha. We spoke about this that no one does anymore today. Is that Rachman Lusumay Lemuth is a yosayin. People told me they remember this. Mr. Glatter. He's not here. Should be concerned. Well, he told me that he remembers this. Is that a boy who is a yosayin? There was a minog that they wear tefillin when they're 12 years old.
Right.
There's such a minog. Today you never heard such a thing. Rachman Lusumay is a yosayin. They wear tefillin like everyone else. They put on tefillin a month before the bar mitzvah, whatever it is. But it used to be such a minog that a yosayin puts on tefillin when he's 12 years old. Why? So no one really knew the answer why. People thought because of a yasa may be chores. Really, a kohen can wear tefillin. Really, mikra din you can give tefillin to a child. Why not? As long as the child knows how to take care of the tefillin, he's mature enough that he's not going to go into the bathroom. He's not going to lose them. He'll be careful with the tefillin. A yasa can really a kohen can wear tefillin. So people would say that a yasa, because he doesn't have a father, he matures very quickly. And a boy who's 12 years old who does not have a father already has the maturity of an adult. So he can already start wearing tefillin when he's 12 years old. That's what people would say.
I told you in Beis Medrash, we had a boy, Moshe, who was 12 years old and his father had died. He put on tefillin.
Yeah. Rabbi Moshe had to put on tefillin. Yeah. That was an ancient custom. This is a custom which, Baruch Hashem, you don't hear about anymore.
Mamish,
it's extinct. This custom does not exist, but it's definitely people who know will tell you this was the way it was. And I found in a very chashuv sefer the reason why, the real reason why this was the case. It's because in the ancient times, not ancient times, not so long ago, people, there were no records, birth records. How, when a boy comes to shul and says, today is my bar mitzvah, how do you know? How do you know today is your bar mitzvah? Who says? Who says you said? You have a birth certificate? No one has it. No one had birth certificates. They didn't keep records. So the only one that's neman al pi halacha to testify, to say edus, how old a person is a father. A father is neman to say, this is when my child was born, not a mother. A mother is not neman. A mother, a woman in halacha, only time a woman is neman halacha is aguna. Mishum iguna hi kilu bar rabbana. A woman is not believed to testify the age of her own child. Because she could get mixed up, this, whatever it is, whatever, I'm not here to go and make any problems. That's the halacha. Mimela, a boy who has a father, and the father says the bar mitzvah will be this week, okay, we believe you. We're going to give him an aliyah, put on tefillin. But a boy who doesn't have a father, we don't know how old he is. We mamish don't know exactly how old he is. So maybe when he's 12 years old, maybe he is already 13 years old. So therefore, l'chumra, we already treat him as a bar mitzvah l'chumra, not l'kula, that he already has to wear tefillin when he's 12 years old. The Chofetz Chaim is proof to this principle, because the Chofetz Chaim, we don't really know how old they say in the newspapers, they had different articles, and the New York Times when he died, it was during the time of Titanic, he died. It's not mukhrach what it says in the New York Times. No one really knows exactly how old he was. What?
He died 22 years after the Titanic.
So Adam, there's an article in the article where it reports that he died. There's also a report that I'm getting a little mixed up then. Isn't there an article?
The Times says he was 106.
106?
Yeah.
That's what it says?
Yeah.
Whatever it is. Okay, going back over here. So over here, this is very fascinating. Over here, the Mitzudos David says the word Chayim means Oilam Haba. The Chofetz Chaim in his Svarim over and over says it's not just Chayim means Oilam Hazeh. Okay, so the Mitzudos David is not just, and he's the living proof. If the Chofetz Chaim was at least 100, some say 106, and also you have to remember those times, the standards of those times, the life expectancy 100 years ago was not 106. Who lived to 106? There wasn't nothing doing though during those years. Extremely weird, especially during the war years. What?
Before
you go over here to Washington, Mayor took me once, a Washington cemetery over here. You look at the ages, look at all these other times. People, it's shocking. In Washington Cemetery, over here by McDonald Avenue, you go into the cemetery there, look at the ages of the people, 40s, 30s. To find someone that was 50 is already Ari Chas Yomen. All these Matzevus, one after the other. The people were there, their 40s, 50s. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. One
you
after.
Extra Rapam, there were three Matzevus, 36.
That's right.
Take a look how many, there's a whole area where from the flu in 1918,
like Spanish flu. 50 million people died all over the world from that. Okay, the life expectancy was not very long during, and especially during Russia, the Tsars and the World War I. That he it's incredible, and it's living proof that miho ish hechafetz chayim means chayim in oilam hazeh, in this world. But again, the Mitzudai says it means oilam haba zuntai, because we know. Oh, the Radak says both. Let's see what is in the Radak. Pasuk Yud Gimel in the Radak. Okay. Kiloima, let's see right away. Let's say the Radak. Miho ish hechafetz chayim kiloima mi sheyirtze bechayim. What happened over here? Making noise. Oh, hey, what does he say?
He says that the Olam Haba about the expression Ohev Yamim, not the Chafetz Chaim. Chafetz Chaim is about Olam Hazeh. Ohev Yamim Lirot Tov is about Olam Haba.
Okay. So then that's the next part. Okay. Oyev Yom Liros Tov Zolam Haba. What does the Mesuda say? Oyev Yomim. Oyev Yom. You return to Lamar. Look at the Mesuda stuff. Oyev Yomim. Return to Lamar. Oyev Yimeh. Oyelam Lahar Bois Bemasim Tovim Liros. So the Mesuda says just the opposite. You're saying the opposite of the Mesuda stuff. Okay, whatever it is, obviously it's both Milchav Yitzchayim, the Mitzvah Sovim says over here, we'll be Zolim Abba. And look, then the next line, it says, Oyev Yomim, he loves days, Lir Ois Toiv, Mitzvah Dois David, on the next page, page 301, Mitzvah David, Ritzan Lemar, Oyev Yimei Ha'oilam, Laharbois B'ma'asim Toivim, Lir Ois Ba'toiv, to see Ho'amiti Bo'oilam Haba. Again, he emphasizes that the word is the ikur, the mitzuda is David is oylam haba, but he does say oyev yomim ritzayin oylamar oyev yimei ha'oylam. He loves to live for the purpose of laharbois b'maasim tovim. What is the purpose of living? The purpose of living is opportunities to do mitzvahs, Torah mitzvahs. It's not just to go on and go on another vacation, another cruise to go visit another country. The purpose of living is to have more opportunities. Opportunities to do Torah umaisim tovim. I think of Rav Steinman, Zeichet Sarek Levrach, he had Arichas Yom. He lived to what, almost 100 years old, something like that. So he was once, someone's once asking about Arichas Yomim. So he said, "Who says it's so good?" I mean, he says the same way you zel umazeh. The same way Hashem gave me more years than usual to have opportunities to learn Torah, umaisim tovim. I'm going to have to give din v'cheshvoin on all of the averos that I did during these extra years. So a person that's given an extra chunk of time, well, if you use that time as an opportunity to do mitzvah, it's wonderful. But unfortunately, if a person gets to chap around and watch another series of movies and do other things in that time that damages his neshama, what are you gaining? It's a washout. It's a washout.
Better to die young.
Chas v'shalom. It's better to live. Live, but yeah, with living, Ari Chasem comes a responsibility. It brings with it an obligation to utilize that time for good things. Not to be taken to task that you were given time in this world, and what did you do with that time? How did you waste that time, or did you use that time in a way that caused damage to your neshama? Chas v'shalom.
Rabbi Hirsch says the same thing. David does not say hechotik b'chayim. He who takes pleasure in life, and he says hechotik chayim.
Chayim. What is life?
Desires life.
Right.
The only
exactly.
Goal is life. That is, he desires to attain such a level of existence as can truly be called life.
Exactly. There's a very popular verse from Chavetz Chaim. I mean,
it's very popular.
We say that on Rosh Hashanah during the Aseres Yimei Tshuva. What does it mean? Zochreinu. Rabbi Chavetz Chaim told over this vart before he died. Many, many times. He told this word to many, many people, especially right during the very difficult times. When it was Zochreinu L'chaim. So how do you translate the words on the simplest level? Remember us for life. Zochreinu L'chaim. Remember us for life. Melech, you Hashem, you're a king. Chofetz B'chaim. Okay, that's the pasuk right here. Chofetz B'chaim. Mi'o yeshe chofetz chaim. So again, it's simply means remember us for life. You, the Melech, you Hashem, you are the king, and you Hashem, you want life. You want that we should live. So he said that's not the pshat. The pshat is Zochreinu L'chaim. What kind of life? When it says the Melech Chofetz B'chaim, the Chofetz Chaim, this is not to be understood as an independent statement. We're not addressing Hashem. Okay, let's review. Simply, how do we all translate this expression? How is it translated in certainly in the art scroll? It probably says something like, Hashem Zochreinu L'chaim. Remember us for life, period. Melech, you Hashem, you are a king who wants life. So it's a separate statement. It's not a separate statement. It's defining chayim. Zochreinu l'chayim, Hashem, remember us for life. What kind of life? What do you want to do with you? What do you want to do this year? You want to go on vacation? You want to go to Kalamazoo? You want to go to a good restaurant? You want to go to the beach? You want to go swimming?
You're talking about quality and quantity.
Okay, not okay, okay, in a certain way, in a certain sense, but really a spiritual. Now you go on to explain the type of life that I'm asking for, that you remember me for, is a life that you, Hashem, want. Hashem sees people living. So we have to put ourselves, look at life from the perspective of Hashem. If Hashem looks down upon this world and he sees this person living, does Hashem have nachas from that, the type of life that this fellow is living? A fellow who never makes a bracha, doesn't think about Hashem, doesn't serve Hashem, just eats and drinks alcohol and goes on vacations and has no spirituality in his life. For when Hashem looks down upon that person, is that the type of life that Hashem wants a person to have? Definitely not. When Hashem looks down upon a tzaddik and sees that his entire day is filled with Yirah Shamayim, Torah and Chesed and serving Hashem, oh, Hashem, that is the life that I had intent. When I gave a person life, that's the kind of life I wanted him to live. So when we say to Hashem on during the Yomim Noraim, Zochreinu Lechayim, the next three words are a clarification, an explanation of the type of life. We are now defining the word Chaim. When we ask you, Hashem, for life, we're not asking you to give us time so we can go on vacation. We're asking for a type of life of opportunity to serve you, which is the type of life that you desire. It's a life that the Melech Chofetz Bachaim, the Melech wants that type of life. This Vart is from the Chofetz Chaim. And again, I told you, it says in the biography books that at the end of his life, when there was a lot of chaos, and there were a lot of tzaras, and the world was in a state of turmoil, he taught, and it came the time of the Yomim Noraim, he repeated this to everyone that he saw. When you mispalal on the Yomim Noraim, Zochreinu L'chaim, Melech Chofetz B'chaim, understand that the three words Melech Chofetz B'chaim is a beyor on the meaning of the type of chaim that you're asking Hashem to give you. Okay, I don't have here an English art school, but I doubt. So what kind of life? What do you mean? It doesn't just mean to waste your time. It means a type of life that Hashem desires. So you have to choose life, right? So the deal with life doesn't just mean live. It means
The art school uses the word desires.
Yes? Okay, you have the art school?
Like you said. Yeah, desires.
Desires. Yeah, the word chofetz means yes. Desire. But the dilemma is when it says the three words, yes. The way most of us translate, there are two separate statements. You first pray, Zochreinu Hashem, please remember us for chayim. Then we say, because you, Hashem, you have power. You're in charge, and you are the melech, and you want people to live. Because you want people to live, therefore, remember us and actually give us life. We the Chofetz Chaim says that's not the pshat. Or he's saying, maybe he's saying a homiletic pshat. He's saying, Zochreinu, thank you very much, Mark. He's saying, Zochreinu l'chaim. Add a few words. What kind of life do I want? I made a request, Zochreinu l'chaim. What kind of life am I asking you, Hashem? I'm asking you to give me life of opportunity, a life, a type of chayim that you like, not a form of life that you do not desire. There are different types of living people. There are people in this world that are many different types of people who are alive, that are living. Some of those people Hashem has a desire for, and some of those people Hashem is not happy with. When we're asking you to give us life, we're asking you to give us a life which includes opportunity and the ability to serve you. This is the type of life which you desire, Hashem. Here in the Art Scroll, Mark gave me the sitter. Remember us for life. O king who desires life. No, see that they're not gonna, our school is not going to translate the words like what Chofetz Chaim, for sure not. That's not, that's what Chofetz Chaim is not the pshat. The Chofetz Chaim obviously is saying a drush. I don't know, or maybe he's saying it's, I don't know, you can, any likut on Rosh Hashanah, Nusach HaTzilah, I guarantee you're going to find the Zvart. You're going to find that. And then when you read the biography of the Chofetz Chaim, you're going to hear that he was obsessed with this Zvart. And it makes a lot of sense why he would be obsessed with this Zvart, because he wrote the Sefer Chofetz Chaim. Right? He wrote the Sefer Chofetz Chaim on Lashon Hara. And he's basically saying Chofetz Chaim means that, at least in this context, it's a Be'ur of the form of life that we ask Hashem to grant us. Okay, so this is the pasuk of Oyev Yamin, person who loves Oyev Yamin Mitzudas David to a degree. He says something like this: a person, he has a love for days. What kind of days? The Mitzudas David explains: Ritzoyno Eloimar Oyev Yimeho Oilam. He loves days for what purpose? Leharbois, for opportunities to be marbe b'maasim tovim. Now notice here, there's no mention of years. Okay, this is always a very big topic. There's arichas yomim and arichas shonim. And here, for some reason, there is no mention.
Is this working?
For some reason over here, there's no mention here of.
It's working.
That's the, yeah, but where are the years? How come there's no mention here of years?
In the pasuk or in the
mitzvah? Shonim. How come in the pasuk?
Are you asking that on the pasuk, or you're asking that on the mitzvah's double? I'm
asking on the pasuk. I'm asking on the pasuk. These shonim means a shonim tamima. Yamin tegulaso. Okay, so you're saying that the word yamin sometimes can refer to years. Excellent. Could very well be. Okay, let's go to the next question. Nitzar. Now, what is the solution? What is the advice? Nitzar l'shonecha meira, guard your tongue meira from evil. Usif osecha, and your lips midaber mirma, from speaking deceit. Pasik tezvav sur meira va'asetov, turn away from ra and do good. Bakei shalom, seek out peace, v'radfeu, and pursuit. Okay, so we have over here, how many instructions? We have over here four instructions. Right. To guard your Lashon from Ra, and your lips from speaking deceit. Okay? And Sur Meira, desist from evil, and do good. That's the do good. And then we have over here, Bakesh is to seek out peace. And then it concludes with Virat Feyu. It's not just sufficient to seek out, pursue it. Let's first see the Mitzvah of it. There's a lot going on over here. A lot of nuances. Pasuk Yudalid in the Mitzvah Stavid. All the Mitzvah Stavid says over here is very little, very short commentary. Bakei Shalom, Bako Shoscha Yihye Lasoy Shalom Bein Ish Le'ochef. Your request should be, and this is a very big chiddush, because if you look at the Mitzvah Stavid, he gives you the impression is that it could be it's not what he's saying, but he's giving you the impression that when you make a request from Hashem, when you pray to Hashem, your tefillos should be focused on bringing about peace. Bako shoscha, your request. And that's not the way most people look at this pasuk. When you read this pasuk, most people say that bakesh means be active, be an activist, be a hishtaglon. This is not prayer. We're not dealing over here making requests. We're dealing here with action. Bakesh shalom, seek out. Be mevakesh. How are you mevakesh? Don't sit here. Be an activist. Go out into the world, and there are people that are not friendly with one another, and try to make peace between them. And don't just take no for an answer. Virat feyu, pursue it, or even go make peace to the ends of the earth. The Mitzvah David is giving you a flavor that's not what it means. When it says bakesh, bakesh means that when you daven Shmoneh Esrei in the basement and no one's watching you and you're all alone, and when you come to the bracha of Sim Shalom Toivu Vracha, don't forget to have kavana. When you say Sim Shalom, you're making a request. The request should be there should be peace. Birchas Kohanim. It says in Birchas Kohanim, it says in Birchas Kohanim, the last word that the Kohanim bless is the Yosem Lecha Shalom. In fact, I saw yesterday in Rav Chaim Kanievsky, I brought in the sefer. We spent time on the sefer. It says there are tremendous chiddush which became. It took up a lot of steam. I think it became only because of Chaim Kanievsky. He said once that he saw in a very old sefer, and he does not know the name of the sefer. He could not find it. They found it, that if a person, when the Kohanim Dochen, okay, we're talking segulas now, we're going into segula mode, that if a person has a specific need, you should go to the Kohen before he Dochens, and you should tell him what your problem is, what you need, and when he Dochens, and he says Dochens, he should think about you and your issue. And I don't know to what degree this was said, but the exim that was given by Rav Chaim Kanievsky, at least in the art scroll, Rav Chaim Kanievsky on Tehillim, was if a person has a shalom bias problems, or there's some type of issue in life where there's an absence of shalom, and you want peace, you have to want, and your partner is not with the program. So you should go to the Kohen, a Kohen who is your friend, who you're close with, and cares about you, and tell him you have a problem. You have a fight in business, or you have a shalom bias issue in your family, not necessarily someone in your family, and tell that when you say the word shalom, when you duchen, please have me specifically in mind.
Isn't the Dorkan Soga somehow in the back of my mind? The Kohen is not supposed to have individuals in mind?
No, no one ever heard of this.
What?
I don't know. You're not allowed to have in mind. I don't know. So this is what it says in the book. I saw this in a few different stories about that. So no one ever heard of this before. When Rav Chaim Kanievsky said this, he said this probably 20, 30 years ago, no one ever heard of this. What? We thought we knew every segula there is. We thought you couldn't come up with a segula that we don't know about already. No one ever heard of this. And they tracked down the sefer. Someone actually said he knows the name of the sefer. It was a sefer that no one ever heard of, it out of print, written by a Rishon, or early Acharon. I don't know that. And they found exactly. And today it's been republished. A little teeny sefer. It's a very thin sefer, and it's been republished with a Bayer. And it actually says this. And it comes from a very holy source. This concept is that the person has an issue. You tell the person what the coin, what the issue is. And when he duchens, you should have them in mind. I actually asked the Kohen, if anyone ever went over to a Kohen who's a Rabbi Chol, you know who it is. I asked him, you're a Rosh Hashiva. I could talk to him like I talk to you. And I said, did anyone ever come over to you and ask you that when you duchen, you should have them in mind?
They
he says, yeah. He says, yeah, people did. People came over. No one ever asked me something specific. No one ever asked me for something specific, but people came over to him and they asked him that when you do them, please have me specifically in mind. In addition to the whole tzibur, I'm going through something a difficult time, please have me in mind. And it comes from Chaim Kanievsky, who cited this old sefer, which they now have found, and they reprinted, and it actually says it there. In fact, I once said this in the shir many years ago, a number of years ago, and there was someone here in the shir, doesn't come to shir anymore, and he says he wants to see it inside. So I brought it to him. I gave it to him. And like I think this year he came. He gave me back the safe. So I forgot all about this. And I saw it yesterday. I was looking through in there's a little article put a nice little safer of Chaim Kanievsky on Tehillim. It's a lot of basically stories like light things, and nothing is light, but it mentions over here. He mentions this in this pasuk, Bakei Shalom V'Rodfeyu, because in the Sefer, I think it specifically focuses on seeking out Shalom bias and to ask Kohanim when they duchen to be mechavein for specific people or circumstances which there is need of Shalom. So that's Bakesh. That's a chelik of Bakei Shalom. And the Mitzvah stuff is something very interesting. It sounds like it's a matter of prayer. Again, not what we look. We look at this as we assume this refers to activism, to the diplomacy. diplomacy to make peace in the world, virat feil. Get back to the mitzvah of David. Bakoshoscha yiyeh lasos shalom bein ish li'ochev, virat feil. Ritzon eloimar, me'oid tihiyeh mechazer achar ha'shalom. Okay, now let's see Rashi. Rashi, bakei shalom. Rashi has more of a drush, homily. Bakei shalom bimkoimcha. Okay, in your own home. Virat feyu bimokoim acher. And seek out peace outside of your abode. And we all know the old story that a person wanted, that he wanted to conquer the world. Everyone knows, I don't know, they say about different Gedolei Yisrael and different types of different examples. And then when he was young, I wanted to conquer the world and change the world. And then I got a little bit older and I realized no one's interested. So I decided, okay, you know what? Not the world will do, the country. And then I saw even that's not going to happen. The state, the city, the community, at least my shul, nothing doing. All right, at least let me make peace at home. No, even that doesn't work. Peace with my wife, even that I can't do. Let me make a change in myself. And then the person realized, I can't even do that. And when I will be able to make a change in myself, oh, that is the secret to being successful in changing the world. A person is a microcosm of the entire world. If you can really succeed in changing yourself, you will be able to change the world. Problem is, most of us can't even change ourselves. So here he says exactly that idea. Bakei shalom bim koimecha. First try to make peace in your mokoim. Okay, peace in yourself. Virat feyu bimokoim acher. Okay, now there is, let's look over here, the Kute Shas, just something in the middle. In the middle here, Elu, I want to jump down to a very fascinating chazal. Okay, let me find it here. Okay, it's Pasuk Tes Vav on page 300. On the bottom of the page, in the title of the Likutei Shas in Midrashei HaTanoim, Pasuk Tes Vav, Sur Meirov Aseh Toiv Bakesh Shalom Virat Feyu. Omer Rav Huna, Kol Sheyodea. That's not what I want to say. The next piece. Tane bar kaparo. Lo'oilam, dat. Yidbak b'shloisha devarim. There are three things a person should seek at. Now this Maimer Chazal, to a very large degree, is coming to explain the depth of what it means, bakesh shalom. Because it's a very vague pasuk. Oh, very nice. Oh, seek out peace. Oh yeah, of course. What else? What else is new? What else is new? Seek out peace. Say good morning to your fellow neighbor. Good morning. I mean, what's the profound chiddush of David telling you bakesh shalom? So this chazal really opens up a world of commentary of what the pasuk really means. Yidbak l'olam yidbak b'shloisha dvarim. Bachalitza uvehavoa shalom uvehafaras nedarim. Okay, we don't have to even read the rest. Let's read the bookmarks, the bookends, the bookends. What are the bookends? Chalitza, a person should cleave, that's a very powerful word, yidbak. It's a very powerful to chalitza. And the other bookend is hafaras nidar, and that was last week's parasha. Now let's explain. Chalitza? Yeah. Chalitza, you would assume, is not a good thing. It's much better to do yibum. Whenever there's chalitza, there's yibum. You can't have one without the other. That's Mesechta Yohamas. I forgot the exact words of the Gemara, but if there's no potential to do Chalitza, then there's no Yibam. If there's no Yibam, there's no Chalitza. They're two sides of the same coin. You can't have one without the other. And you would think the ideal thing to do is Yibam. What do you do when you do Yibam? You're rebuilding the home of the deceased. Person dies, he has no children, it's tragic. So now you have an opportunity, the brother has an opportunity to rebuild his home. That's a beautiful thing. Rebuild the home. There's a churban in Klal Yisrael. Go and rebuild. Isn't that noble? That's a very beautiful thing. You don't want to rebuild the home? You don't want to do your duty? So what does the Yevama do? She spits at you. She takes off your shoes. She spits at this person. You despicable, good for nothing. Here your brother died. You have an opportunity to rebuild his home. Instead of letting him be leaving this world with nothing, and you don't want to do it. You're good for nothing. You don't deserve to live. You wear shoes. When you put on shoes, you make a bracha. She'osa li kol tzarki. Hashem gave me everything. You deserve nothing. You deserve nothing. We should expel you from this world. Take off your shoe. And then she spits at him. Spitting is the ultimate bizyonis. What does it say? V'yaviyah, yoroik, yorak, b'foneha, halosi kolem shivas yamim. Hashem says about Miriam, her father spits, if her father would spit at her, wouldn't she be humiliated for 7 days? Kol shken, when Hashem spits at her, she should be humiliated for 14 days. So you see, the taking off shoes, taking off a shoe, and spitting at a person is a pretty, pretty big insult. If you make the bracha she'asali kol tzarki when you put on a shoe, so taking off a shoe is you deserve nothing, and when you spit, it's a pasuk in the Torah. It's a statement of bizyonos, because you what kind of person are you? You have a responsibility. Along comes the Gemara, and the Gemara says no, don't do it. Do chalitza. Okay, what's the next thing? Hafaras nedarim. A woman or makes a vow. Obviously, there's a tzara. Noidrin be'eis tzara. A woman, l'chara, she wants to have a child. She's in tzar. She wants to have a baby. So what is she? Boy nishalolim, I take and make a neder. I'm not going to eat chocolate. There's a lot of stories, people in different war recently. People they decided, because other people are in tzar, they will not put sugar into their coffee because of the tzar of Klal Yisrael. All different stories. People they're in the matzav of tzara, noidrin be'esara. It's a noble thing to make a neder. Mikan shenoidrin be'esara. A husband comes along and hears what this woman did. No, le'oilam yidbak. No. I don't want any nedarim out. I mean, may for your neder. So what do we have over here? We have over here chalitza, nibum, where there's a contrast. A neder is a wonderful thing to do. Yet, no, there's a way out. What's the reason? The reason is because more often than not, Chazal say, and this is a very big, very deep concept, the Torah presents ideals. But we have to acknowledge that we don't live in an ideal world. We're in Golus. We are not living in an ideal world. And although the Torah presents the ideals, you have to be practical. And more often than not, doing Yibum creates more problems than it solves. By doing Yibum and rebuilding, being noble, and rebuilding a brother's home, do you have a wife? So this is going to be your second wife? What? In your own shalom bias.
Both of them.
Why? Okay, the door was, but let's go one at a time, Yibam. Why? It's the most noble thing to do, Yibam. Really, it is. It really is. Ideally, it is. But we don't live in an ideal world. We live in Golos. Do you have your own wife? You're going to now take a second wife. Also, do you know this woman, really, she's Osir. She's an Erva. Are you really married to L'Shem Shemayim? You're being Pagea. In an erva, you're creating a zilzul in Klal Yisrael. People are observing this. Oh, it's not so bad to have relations with women that are your relatives. Even though the Torah presents Yibum as the ideal, it's beautiful. It's an incredibly noble act. But, you know, are you holding there? The Torah presents ideals. But if you're not holding by that ideal, better pass. The Torah gave you an out. It gave you an out, and the out is chalitza. Making a neder, wow, a neder. A woman, she's in a tzar, she wants to have a child. and she's having difficulty conceiving. So what does she do? She makes an eder. Hashem, if you do this for me, I'm gonna do that for you. I'm gonna make an eder. It's wonderful. You have a source in Tanakh. That's the proper thing to do. Are you really gonna keep that neder? Are you really holding where you should? Just because the Torah tells you something, if the Torah also presents you a way out, you have to know where you're standing. And Chazal came along and they said this already 1,000 years ago. You know, we're not holding today in such high madrigas. Be very careful. I'm not making this up. Le'olam yidbak b'shloisha adrim. That's a very powerful word, the word yidbak. Yidbak means to cleave. Alken yazov ish es ovev v'yasimo v'dovak b'ishtoi. V'yatem advekim b'ashem elokeichem. It's a powerful word. Yidbak b'shloisha adrim. Chalitza on one end, and the other hafaras nedarim. And now we have a revelation of what it means b'kei shalom. In the middle, in shalom. What? Shalom is only one side. No, it's not. There are many situations in life that it's better to fight. It's better to fight. You have to stand up for your values. The ideal thing, 90% of the time, is to fight. I believe in something. This is the way, this is MS. And this is my emuna. This is what I know to be correct. You want to make trouble for me? I'll fight with you. I have to prove my values. There are many, many situations in life where theoretically the ideal thing to do is to fight. There should be a fight. Look at Pinchas. Pinchas ben Elazar ben Arkain. What did he do? Vayikach roimach biyadoi. And he has murdered two people. He murdered the Nasi and he murdered a princess. And they were calling him, they were being mevazeh him. But he was right. Hashem came to his defense. Don't go put him down. I'm giving him the bris kahuna. Yet, along comes this pasuk, and really that's what Chazal is saying. You're right. It's the ideal thing to do in many situations, but you know what? Just like the ideal thing to do is Yibum, and just like the ideal thing is Vayidar Yisrael Neder Leimar Im Yelukim Imadi, even though those are also ideals, yet the end is that when the day is over, you know what? Pass. Don't live out your ideals, because you're not holding by it, and if you're not holding by it, it's just going to be a churban. Do chalitza. Be made for the neder. You want to fight for something? You know what? Don't fight for it. Make peace. Make peace. Make shalom. Compromise. Now, obviously, you have to balance this. You know, you can't become an avikaris. You can't violate Hashem's laws. But there are situations where, ideally, there should be war. But you know something? Bakesh shalom. Bakesh means when there's an alternative. We like to look at this as Bakesh shalom. We read this very simply, is there's only one road to go. There's only one path to go. There's peace. So the question, should I sit here and do nothing, or should I seek out peace? Bakesh shalom. Come on, you need David to tell you that. No. You're at the crossroads. There are two paths. You're dealing with a situation in life, and you have a choice. You can either go this way. You got to go somewhere. You can't sit and do nothing. You can't sit and do nothing. Either you're going to go down this highway, or you go down this highway. You go down this highway, it's milchama. You go down this highway, it's shalom. And you know what the ideal thing to do is? Milchama. That's life. Many situations, you believe in your ideals, yet, just like when you're at the crossroads with Yibum and Chalitza, Yibum is the more ideal thing to do. But you know, you gotta be practical sometimes. Do Chalitza. Making a neder in order to accomplish, that's the ideal thing to do. But you gotta be practical. Who says you'll fulfill your neder? Be made for the neder. You're in a situation where either you're gonna fight or you're gonna make peace. You know something? Is it really Kedai to science? You're right. You're right. And if you're a person that's wholesome and pure, you have to be true to yourself. You have to fight. You know something? Make peace. Be mevater. Be mevater.
And sometimes the Yerushim is better than to live a life of fight.
Say it again? Say it again.
It's a form of game.
Divorce.
Yehum is a positive towards his brother.
Right.
But the wife, I don't know. This is a...
Yidbak. Yidbak. It says don't do it. Don't. Ashkenazim have never done Yibum. Never done Yibum in history. It's a concept in the whole Masechta Yevamos, but Halacha Lemaisa Yibum for the last who knows how many years, 1,000 years by Ashkenazim, never done, no matter what. Sfardim, Yesh V'Yesh. Sfardim, there were Sfardim who did Yibum. Well, it's also because Sfardim also, and there's a whole shot of polygamy. Did they marry more than one wife? But Yibum was never done by Ashkenazim. What? Of course. Of course in Chalitza. You have no choice after Chalitza.
Right. I told you the one Chalitza that I was at, he was, so the man was crying, and his wife was there, and she said to him when it was over, why were you crying? And he said, because I like her and I need family. She had a blank stare and then blew up. He said, what?
He was married,
but his brother.
I similar story. I went to a Sheva Brachos once. I couldn't believe this. And someone got up and he was telling about when he was dating, like the father of the chassan. And he started talking, and I don't know, he started talking, and he says, you know, when I was dating, not with my wife. And he said over this whole story, and like his wife, the expression on her face was like, when we get home, I'm going to beat you up. It's talking in public about dating another woman who's not your wife.
If he does Chalitza, can he actually marry her later on?
No. Once... She is a sister-in-law. Under ordinary circumstances, a sister-in-law is incest. Incest. It's an erva. It's chayve kresos. If a man were to marry his sister-in-law, it's chayve misa. A sister-in-law is chayve misa. Kares. So the Torah made an exception. If the sister-in-law does not have children, the brother died, there are no children, then this is this woman who, under ordinary circumstances, would be a chiyuv misa, would be considered incest. It's now a mitzvah to marry her. A mitzvah. So that's all Masechta Yevamos. Do you halacha lemaisa? Do you do it? Does it happen? Ashkenazim, they never did it. They never did the only chalitza. Sfardim did. What? What do you mean?
Chazal says you can't do Yibum. And the language of Chalitza is so fierce.
That's the word of the Torah. V'cholzen alam, yal raglay. V'cholzen means to take off the shoe. These are the words.
Why did they change the language?
Well, what do you mean change the language? I don't understand.
When we originally had the Arisa Chalitza, you ranked out the guy that you didn't do Chalitza.
That's right, you do it today also.
Yes, that's what I'm asking. Why
did you
do that today? You're not allowed to
have it. You can soften
the language.
You can't. The Torah is the Torah. The Torah doesn't change. It says in the pasuk, the yorko b'fanav. And she has to say, kocho ye'ose lo'ish asher lo yivnes beis sochif. Yikor yishmor b'yishol beis chalutz hanoal. Nothing changed. Xeris hakosif. It's a humiliating experience.
He's still
not
true what he's saying.
What?
He doesn't have the option, so it's not that he's refusing to do the mitzvah, he can't do it.
No, the reason why he doesn't have the option,
it doesn't matter,
is because he is a bum. Because we know that you don't have proper intentions. You don't even have a chance.
It doesn't matter. I hear what you're saying. You're saying that since today the Jewish custom is that Ashkenaz do not do it, so it's not fair that he should be humiliated to such a degree. When I'm not the one that's making this decision. It's the Beis Din who made this decision for me. Okay, I hear what you're saying. I don't know the answer. Hands are tied. Our hands are tied. There's not that can be done. There has to be done according to what it says in the Torah. This is explicit in the Torah. And that's how it has to be. They have, if you go on YouTube, you can watch many, they do this, and sometimes, so sometimes they ask the people if you want to be used as donate, you know, like people who donate your body to a medical school, your cadaver. Do you want to be serve as a learning opportunity for the Talmidim? And sometimes they say yes. And they go and they put up signs and they invite Talmidim to come to shul and they put them on a stage and they make a whole show out of this in order to them to teach how it's a complex procedure. It's not Baruch Hashem, it's not very common. And some people they don't mind being used as a tool to teach the practically how it's done. You have a certain type of shoe, and how she spits, and how she does this, how she does that. It's a whole thing, how the Beis Din reads this.
When I was there, Rabbi Vick had the whole yeshiva there with handouts. They gave everybody a thing and he explained. And there were like a couple hundred people there.
It's a whole ceremony, yeah. I mean, and many people would just say, I don't want to be a spectacle. Leave me alone. We'll do it privately. And that's perfectly fine. Perfectly fine. And then there's a whole shiloh. Let's say this happens to a person who's 90 years old. This is a very big dilemma. Let's say you have a person who dies, a couple who dies, Rahman, they have no children, and the brother is alive. So the woman is not planning to remarry. The widow, let's say she's 95 years old. She's not planning to remarry. Is she obligated? Is there a mitzvah to still do chalitza? One thing, you have a young person, a young almana, so she's going to remarry. She's not allowed to remarry until she does chalitza. Has no choice. But let's say you have a woman who's not planning to remarry. She's 90 years old. She's not going to remarry. She's not planning to get married.
Isn't there no Hebrew eyelidness?
No, she's not an eyelidness. She's a zakein. There is Yidba. There is
zakein.
Oh, eyelidness means she doesn't have the rechem.
Maybe it was the husband.
No. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Even though she's at an age where she can no longer have children, it doesn't make a difference. And eyelidness means a person never had those organs, those simonim. So there is 100% a requirement to do chalitza even on a woman who is past the age of having children. She's not already married. A woman who's 70 years old, who was married and they have no children, and her husband dies, and she wants to remarry. 100%, she's mechuyev to have chalitza before she remarries. She's not allowed to. It's categorically forbidden for her to remarry until she asks chalitza. Oh, but she's 70 years old. This happens. She's 70 years old. She's past the age of having children. So what's the problem? No, the halacha, that's not called an eilanus. That's called a regular woman who just is past the age of having children. There is no exemption for such a person. The exemption is a person who was born in a situation where she doesn't have the ability to have children. She's missing the basic simonim. All right, so this
is there a time frame on this?
There's no time frame. No time.
Just leave it in limbo until.
So that's another dilemma, which I don't know what the resolution is.
The person didn't do it for 2 years. And his father kept telling me to convince him to do it. He was upset with his son that he didn't do it.
There's no time frame on this. It should be, I guess, like area.
She's in Aguna.
She's in Aguna, right?
No,
she cannot.
She got married. So many years later, she still didn't get married.
I don't know what the halach is, but if a woman is not planning on remarrying, it happens. A woman who's 90 years old, she's not planning to remarry at this point in her life. And she has no children, and she has a brother-in-law. Is there a mitzvah to do chalitza? Both. Really is on him. I don't know the answer. Is it a din? Is it a din that if you want to remarry, so you can't, because there's a zika, there's a bond, you have to first have chalitza. But if you don't want to remarry, gesunte, hey, leave it the way it is. Or no, there is a mitzvah to resolve the situation one way or the other. Either yibum or chalitza. Today, it's not common to do yibum at all. Even by Sfardim, they don't do it anymore. It's very, very rare. that it's done. So it has to be resolved. There is a mitzvah d'oraisa to don't allow this to remain in limbo, one way or another, either yibum or chalitza. If today the custom is not to do yibum, then there's an obligation that you should do chalitza ASAP. Oh, but she's 90 years old, it's not relevant for her, she's not going to remarry. Doesn't matter. There's a mitzvah to resolve the situation. So if you take that Kabbalistic approach, you go down the road of Kabbalah, they will tell you, you'll read. Okay, the microphone is breaking. This is a very good microphone. But I think it's lit. It's at the end of its life now. I think it's broken over here right now. So the mitzvah of the world of Kabbalah, the neshama is in limbo. Person dies, he has no children, and he has a brother-in-law, and he has a wife. His neshama is in limbo until either yibum is done or chalitz is done. But if you learn learn al derech teres hanigle, the revealed portion of the Torah, what difference does it make? She's not getting married anyway. Who cares? Don't drive her crazy. Don't drive her crazy. Leave her alone. She doesn't want to do chalitza. There's no need. She's not getting married. There's no need to do chalitza to get involved and to be matriarch if you want to get involved.
You're also leading her to the rest of the world in the status of an ancient city, so to speak.
Right. She's.
So that's a problem.
So yichud.
So did you write with it?
You're leaving her in limbo. So is it really relevant? Okay, so fine, she's like an Ashes. So until now, she was anyway an Ashes. She had a husband.
She's had, but now if you give her the chalitza, she's not in that.
Okay, so that's the dilemma. Let's say you have a woman that says, I'm not interested. So do you push her? But you know, it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah d'oraisa, to do chalitza. I believe this is a machloikis. Machloikis achroinim, what is the status of chalitza in the situation where a person has no desire to remarry? All right, but anyway, that's not the point. He's not chalitz. The point over here is an incredible chazal with chazal that's coming to sandwich shalom between chalitza and hafaras nedarim, and that opens up a world of commentary because those two concepts of chalitza and hafaras nedarim have a choice. They're always part of a choice. Yibum versus chalitza, hafaras nedarim versus making the neder, and yet it says in chazal. Don't you have a choice? One choice is ideal, and one choice is practical. Uvacharta with what is practical, and what is smack in the center of all this? Shalom. That obviously tells us that the case of shalom has the same pattern, as the same template, where it's not just a question of peace, peace, peace. It's a question of peace versus war, and war. In this case, similar to Yibum and Neder, would really be the ideal thing to do. There's a time for war. Eis milchama, it says the Farish in Koheles. Eis milchama. That's the ideal thing to do. But yet, bakesh shalom, lo'olam yidbak. Don't be an idealist. Because you're going to end up in a bad neighborhood. I know, and obviously, this requires a lot of commentary in and of itself, because everything is balance. We all do know that sometimes you don't have a choice. There has to be war. You don't have a choice sometimes. But when you do have a choice, bakesh shalom, it opens up again. The commentary over here of this chazal is unbelievable. It's comparing it to these two things. So bakesh means you're at a crossroads, this way, that way. Okay, we're gonna have to stop over here. I thought for sure we'd finish today, but it's not. I'll take a short break. And after my study is over here on the table, kinois. I want today, we have a few days until Tisha B'Av. I want to spend some time learning inside the kinois for Tisha B'Av.
No,
But I'm just saying, when the father didn't remember, he said this, and then he don't want to. Now we have records. It's pretty accurate.
No, what are you doing?
Thank you.
You get Skyro leader getting your own papers.
I still see her face. She said, what? I said to him, I thought, are you stupid or what? You thought you could be yourself.
That was a mistake.
That's a circle.
Yeah. He had a half moment. Same thing.
Nice to hear Mark.
I wonder why they did the house cover.
It's like writing a flop. Could they get more money?
Against it.
Right.
I am raised this in 1970. I was by the Cogito, and I had to get a hint before the Kings came.
So thank you very much.
It's the same one that I've been using ever since.
Right.
Every year, so you know what I need to do.
I have a lot of
hot coffee. Packing it up and taking it with you.
Oh, we can do everything now.
Yeah, let's show it out while we were
showing. You should need it for next one.
That's the idea. That is it.
Good morning to you, too.
You guys don't finish up the yogurt, I'm not going to bring more tomorrow.
No, I actually don't.
They're not cultured, though.
It's a Greek yogurt. The cow, they're all sorts of stuff. The Greek yogurts are thicker, right? It's like a thick yogurt.
I'll eat
cultured. There's some on the bottom. Taste it if you don't like it. You're done.
Okay, your time.
Today's the your time. Rabbi,
what are you doing?
Today, maybe tomorrow, but we'll learn from the
Say that again, please. I have a new card voided. I have a new card. Call me next week.
Okay, Rabbi, let us learn. Okay.
I might put this back here because I don't know.
Okay, fine, fine, fine. Okay, fine, fine.
Okay.
Whatever you want to do for me. Okay. What do you want to do? Okay, Rabbi, so let's begin. Rabbi Isai, order in the court.
Does everyone have? Does everybody need?